When you've got a lot on your plate, your financial future is the last thing on your mind. You've got groceries to buy, gas tanks to fill, and your kid just got invited to another birthday party. How are you supposed to find the time or the money to invest? Let Acorns help. Acorns makes it easy to invest for you, your kids, and your retirement all in one app. Answer a few questions, and Acorns will recommend an expert-built portfolio that matches your money goals. Then, Acorns automatically invests your money for you, every day, week, or month, whatever works for you. You can even start investing with your own spare change. Acorns is an easy way to invest for your future while you take care of today. Ready to give your money a chance to grow? Download Acorns now and sign up in just 5 minutes. Investing involves risk, including the loss of principal. Please consider your objectives, risk tolerance, and Acorns fees before investing. Acorns Advisors LLC is an SEC registered investment advisor. Brokerage services are provided to clients of Acorns by Acorns Securities LLC. Member FINRA SIPC. For more information, visit acorns.com.
June is recognized nationally as Men's Health Month. Aetna and CVS Health are committed to finding new ways to make healthier happen for everyone. They're making healthcare more affordable, connected, and better for all. Visit them at CVSHealth.com. That's CVSHealth.com.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, D.C., signing on.
Back in the saddle in here on a Monday. It's good to be with all of you. Of course, I am back here on the East Coast. You probably noticed there's a little bit of an echo coming in, and I apologize for that up front. But, we're in the process of literally relocating everything, building things up much, much better than they were before. And we are in the process of getting the storefront underway, and between travel with class, literally been out in Wyoming for the past week and a half, coming back here, and literally no rest for the weary. We are running full steam, trying to get everything squared away. But, you know, trying to find my really good podcasting setup, the microphone and all that, things are just lost in the shuffle. I don't have time to dig through everything and keep the store operating and all the other stuff that we've got going on. So we're going to get that straightened out. But right now, in this episode, there's a bunch of things that I really wanted to break down, and a lot of news. Of course, I was on Colonel Murray's show on Friday. We discussed the breaking Alex Jones case. I'm going to be diving a little bit further into that. And I really want to get into differences, stuff that I've talked about on and off over the years, how this isn't the 1990s and the social realities of today are a hell of a lot different and worse in many ways socially than they were in the 1990s. But why that's a good thing, why that is a good thing. And it's a good thing for positive change, you know. But I'm going to be diving into all that stuff. First, of course, big shout out to show sponsors, civildefensemanual.com. If you don't have copies of that, I get hit up all the time. People are asking me, you know, hey, what books should I get? I'm getting into prepping. It's never too late. By the way, it is never too late. It is never too late to get woken up. It's never too late to start getting ready for the things that are definitely, 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 definitely coming down the pipe. And we see all this, all right? I mean, how many untold tens of thousands unaccompanied Chinese military-age males coming across the border? I mean, are you kidding me? If you don't see this for what it is, if your eyes are not awake yet, I'm not really sure there's a lot of hope for you. But for the rest of you out there, maybe you've just woken up. Maybe you need a primer. All right. So civildefensemanual.com, you're going to find it that over there, 2-volume set. You definitely want to get both of those. I wrote the communications chapter in that book. But everybody that wrote stuff for that are heavyweights. All right. Real world bona fides, real world expertise. That's why Jack Lawson assembled the guys that he did. And we each wrote chapters based on our experience, our expertise. So, you know, if you're a brand new prepper, or maybe, you know, you're well seasoned, you've been doing this for a minute, you know a thing about a thing, I promise you, you're still going to be coming back to that book as a very critical reference. Say civildefensemanual.com, civildefensemanual.com. Big shout out to brushbeatergold.com. You know, we're looking at the U.S. dollar. We're going to be diving into that a little bit later in the week, what's going on with that. I'm getting a lot of questions. You know, I'm not an accountant by any stretch of the imagination. But I would say that I do know a thing or two about finance. And when you're looking at the U.S. dollar and its ties to petroleum internationally and how, you know, everything is traded in the U.S. dollar, you've got Saudi Arabia now making major moves saying that they want to break away from the dollar's hegemony. All right, this is one of those things. They've been signaling this for a little while. Longtime listeners know that I've been talking about this for years now, that this is one of those unexpected moves that we're seeing. And it is a direct result, by the way, of inconsistent foreign policy. And when you have people like John Kerry, who is nothing more than Washington, D.C., white privilege elitist insider. Okay. That's exactly what this guy is. He is a product of wealth. He married into wealth. He was already a wealthy guy. He's one of those Northeastern liberals that you know, the Martha's Vineyard type. And the Saudis look at this like, what kind of future do we have with America if an idiot like this is running the show? So they're looking at it like, we're thinking about pulling out. So what does that leave you with? When your entire retirement, all your savings, your life savings, Roth IRA, everything that you have literally put all of your money into, your eggs into one basket, right? Expecting it to be there because, well, generations past, it always was. Wouldn't it be a good thing to move into gold? Just asking you to consider it. Go over to brushbeatergold.com. That's brushbeatergold.com. Check out some of the plans that we have over there. Certified experts in Roth IRAs, individual retirement accounts. You can move everything over there. They can help you with getting the entire thing set up. It's what these people are paid to do. And they are bona fide financial experts. They're to help you get weathered through the coming storm. So it's brushbeatergold.com. Finally, of course, Brushbeater Store, that is brushbeater.store. I get a lot of emails through the store, people saying, oh, hey, your Tutanota account doesn't work. I know it don't work. Okay, please stop emailing me telling me it doesn't work. I know that. Okay, you don't need to tell me that it doesn't work anymore. I've put out multiple announcements over the past 12 months saying I'm not using that email account no more, so don't hit me up. Okay? That's your fault. And if you get an answer from me that's somewhat out of the way, you know, it's because I've probably answered 50 other emails saying exactly that. If you want to get in touch with me, ncscout@brushbeater.org. But brushbeater.store, we have a full restock, thermal, night vision, mini thermals. I told you we were going to get a replacement for the Stinger. The Stinger had to get taken off of the market. Hey, that is what it is. I told you that we would get a replacement for that, and we did. We turned around. Armasite wanted to work with us almost immediately. We've got those in stock Now we have the mini sights, brand new to the market, microthermal optics, the collector, both in the 320 and the 640. These are brand new and we have them in stock at brushbeater.store. It's not like some of the competitors out there where, you know, you might order it today and you'll get it 8 months from now, whether you actually get it or not. No, everything I have on my store, if it says it's in stock, it's in stock. You order it, you're going to get it. You order it, we're going to ship it that next day. Okay. Same day, by the way, if you place an order before noon, it's going to ship that same day. I promise you that. We burn the midnight oil. We get it out there, bar none. If it says it's in stock on the store, it is in stock and we will get it out to you. But the store is just growing by leaps and bounds. I'm going to do a whole separate episode from the store this week where we're just going to be breaking down kind of my plans, where we are with the store, where it is headed, a grand opening to the public that is coming up this fall. I'm really, really excited about that, as are a lot of you out there, because I get dozens of emails a day of people saying, hey, you know, I am so ready for a place where we can come in, we can check out thermal, we can check out night vision, I can bring you down the street to my range and literally get you dialed in. You can try equipment before you buy it. There are literally so many retailers out there that are selling equipment that you're kind of just trusting their word on things. You don't really get to play with equipment and figure out exactly what's right for you in person. You're just kind of relying, you know, it's a trust me, bro kind of approach. We're fixing all of that and we're going to change this game, by the way. That, of course, is my co-pilot you hear over here. He's been my close friend of 13 years, my four-legged beast. Raised him from a puppy. He's a very old man now. Sometimes he feels a little spry, so you might hear him in the background. Little Rottweiler pit bull mix. He's been a great dog. Anyway, so talking about the show, you know, let's get on with this thing. Not everything is a psyop, folks. I want to say that bottom line up front, not everything is a psyop. And, you know, one of the big problems that we've had on the right, you know, for a very, very long time has been this fear of organization. All right. This is something that I talked about earlier today, put out a thing on Twitter, got some attention, or X, whatever we're calling it this week. But you know, it'll all be Twitter. I mean, it's still tweets, right? But you know, people are so wrapped around the axle. Everything is a psyop. Everything is fake. Everything is this, that, or the other. What it really boils down to is people are so fearful of organization, and they're so quick to cast stones on other people who are, you know, they gain notoriety for some reason, maybe no fault of their own, or maybe it is. They're so quick to cast stones at what other people are doing. And they'll do it really loudly and they'll do it publicly. And then it turns into, you know, a real soft form of character assassination. Oh, everything is fake. Everything is phony. Everything is stilted, and you know you can't trust anything. I'm just gonna sit at home in my little hovel and, you know, kind of pontificate on the way of the world. Ought to be, you know, perfectly content with the fact that you know history is going to forget about me, you know, when I return to dust. And you know that's kind of where the right's been. It's been stuck in neutral all these years. And what I said this morning explicitly was that in the 1990s, you had both the right and the left. You had the militant right with the militia movement, and you had the militant left that was anti-World Trade Organization, anti-NAFTA, and a lot of this was, the militant left was very much in lockstep with United Auto Workers, United Steel Workers, AFL-CIO. And I was kind of, in the 1990s, I was kind of in a unique position where I got to see both ends of that. And not really necessarily in a militant sense, but it was just a strange occurrence where the hard right was, very, very present, because people were really upset about the curtailment of firearms rights, the 1994 assault weapons ban. Bill Clinton, in his first term, had ran as a moderate Dixiecrat and was, very popular initially in the South. And then all of a sudden, out comes the radical Marxist, the boomer 1960s hippie generation anti-war stuff started coming out by his appointees. And a lot of the decisions that he made in that first term made him very, very unpopular quickly, very quickly. And it was both him and Gore that ran on a traditional Dixiecrat platform early on in the 1992 election. And it was a sort of populist wave that got him elected. I mean, I was a small child when all that was going on, but I remember it. I remember it really well. And being around people here in North Carolina that were very politically connected and kind of seeing it from both ends. It was a fascinating time to be alive. And the militia movement nationwide, I don't think anybody in this audience really needs an introduction to any of that. A lot of people, my age and younger, probably aren't intimately familiar with it in the ways that I am, because in my career of doing this, I've got to know several of the guys who were instrumental in that era and kind of listen to what they had to say, some of their wisdom where they had it to offer. And those guys really, for the good ones of the bunch, really did yeoman's work on laying the groundwork for what would become the Patriot movement of the 2000s and kind of, where this podcast and everything came from, and so you've got guys like Alex Jones that have been around since that era and many others, but he's most notable among them that are incredibly important. It's incredibly important because they're finding themselves now, him explicitly, but there will be others that are now literally battling for their livelihood because of their freedom of speech. And that's a very, very important thing to understand. And so where I'm going with this is that, over the years, we've all heard it. All right. We've all heard it. If you've been in any online circles, you've always heard it. Oh, Alex Jones is an Israeli shill, or Alex Jones is controlled opposition, or is this, that, or the other. If he was all those things, they wouldn't come after him as hard as they have. Okay. I'm just here to break it to you. You may not necessarily agree 100% lockstep with what the dude says. Maybe, his personal choices, whatever it might be. You may not, but you cannot deny that the man had a game-changing impact. He literally created the alternative media. And I say that as an admirer of other guys who came up in the alternative media who really were instrumental in it, William Cooper being one of the top among them. But nobody did it the way Alex Jones did. Nobody. Nobody achieved what Alex Jones was able to achieve. It's undeniable. Okay, it's undeniable. And that's the reason that they're coming after him. So when you look at how, people have cast stones on him. People have cast stones on a lot of the voices that become very prominent in our circles. you need to really wonder about that. It's not a culmination of everything is fake or phony or whatever the case might be. It's a function of they're out there doing it and they have fundamental human flaws. That's really the thing there. I mean, are certain people, certain voices that are regularly very inflammatory, you know, could they be controlled opposition? I mean, certainly, yeah. But you'll know who their enemy is by who they go after. Because they'll attack the people that they're afraid of. You know, they'll attack the people they're afraid of. You know, they're absolutely relentless in how they go after Jones. There's going to be others. Okay, there's going to be others. And dovetailing on that, I want to say that you know, what are you doing? You know, if you're that person that's constantly throwing stones at what everybody else is doing out there, what alternative do you have? You know, or what are you doing? What is your contribution to making the world a better place that you're living in? You know, that's the reason that I started this podcast. That's the reason that I started training people. That's the reason that I started American Partisan. That's the reason that I started my forum. That's the reason that I wrote my books. It's not because I was trying to gain anything out of it. It's because I'm trying to make the world a better place. I'm trying to be that change that I want to see in the world for the better, you know?
Want to retire in 5 years or less? You can do it, just like Lifestyles Unlimited member Lisa.
So we started passively. It was on vacation is when we realized we really need to take the plunge and be more active in this. Just because I'm an educator, I wanted to really know what I was doing. So it was just education on my part is really big and knowledge. And I'm like, well, I could do that.
Go to GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Enter code 2024. Join and learn for just $297 with Lifestyles Unlimited.
Becoming a medical assistant opens so many doors to healthcare careers. And in 9 months, this could be you. Get hands-on training in real-world labs, clinical externships, and the support of fellow students and teachers at Pima Medical Institute. Visit pmi.edu for details.
And that's an important thing. So with that in mind, you know, the people who are out there running around saying, yeah, everything is fake, everything's a psyop, everything is this, everything's that, you know, there are some things that are astroturfed, you know, for sure. You know, no ifs, ands, or buts, right? No ifs, ands, or buts. And, you know, recently, within the past week, within the past 7 days, you know, we've been served up to, you know, yet another person, social media personality, via Instagram, Twitter, probably on TikTok too. I don't know. But, this chick named Lily, right? Don't know. Don't care. Why did she get notorious or infamous? Where did this all of a sudden catapulting fame come from? Well, it's because she dropped the N-word, right? That's pretty much it. And she's got some basic opinions out there that I don't even really know if you can necessarily call them right wing. They just are what they are. It's a reflection. All of this is a reflection of how a lot of people are actually thinking. Okay. This is not, I would say, this is not some astroturf thing that, you know, it's just fake and it's pushed over on everybody. Now, she just happened to be the fortunate or maybe unfortunate in the long run, who knows. But she just happens to be the one person who has espoused the reality that when words become commonplace, they no longer have meaning. You know, when you call everybody racist nonstop, then nobody's racist. When you find racism in everything, which is utterly ridiculous, then nothing becomes racist. When you are, when the militant left, and really I would say even just your mainstream liberals who want to feel good about themselves, are so quick to cancel everybody and rush to judgment, and knives come out, even for the most minor things. I mean, even the most minor little things. What do you think is going to happen? Those words begin to lose meaning. You know, the 1960s counterculture was in large part a reaction to the stuffiness of the 1950s, right? The public perception of stuffiness in the 1950s with, you know, the kind of the stereotypical everybody high school dance. You don't ever talk about sex or like any of the dirty stuff. You don't ever do any of that. You know, drugs were definitely verboten in every way, shape, and form. You had evangelists that were dominating the airwaves. And so, you know, and when kids grow up in that environment, you had the threat of nuclear war, you know, all that stuff. They're going to rebel against it, right? They're going to rebel against that. And you're going to create a counterculture in the process of utter rebellion, right? Anything that was the status quo previously, you're going to turn it on its head, right? You're going to do all of those things. And the reason for that is it's just a reaction. It's just a rebellion. It's finding a cultural identity. And that's where your entire counterculture movement of the 1960s came from. Well, if we take that into account, and then we fast forward a couple of decades into the 1980s, this was explored again. There was a TV show called Family Ties. And Family Ties, Michael J. Fox, you know, he had two aging hippie parents that, you know, they were in their 40s, early 50s, whatever it was. He's a teenager, and he's fully embracing Reaganism, Reaganomics, the Wall Street boom of the time, like that entire era. That's exactly what he's embodying that. And they made a whole sitcom about this. Of course, it made him a star. And then he goes on to do Back to the Future and, you know, all that stuff. He's became a big time megastar because of it. But that whole show, the whole sitcom, was centered around this clash of cultures and how, you know, these two fairly liberal parents that grew up in the, you know, the 1960s, peace and love, anti-war movement, hippie stuff, they couldn't really wrap their minds around how their kid became this ultra-conservative, you know, Wall Street savvy kind of guy, you know, literally the epitome of the era. They didn't really understand that. And so all the jokes, all the shows were kind of written around that reality of how does this younger generation get along with. So literally fast forward 40 years, right, from the 1980s. Here we are again, right? Here we are again. Everything goes in cycles. And the thing is, though, is that in the 1980s, even though, you know, it was the height of the Cold War and life was not good, okay, contrary to popular belief, in the 1980s, the crime rate was at the very highest ever in American history. And economically, we weren't really anywhere near as strong as what we would become in the 1990s with the collapse of the Soviet Union. So with that said, you know, we fast forward a bit and we find ourselves in that reactionary phase again, but the good times are over. Okay. We became very strong in the 1990s. We went into the 2000s, of course, post 9/11 world. And that economic engine, because of NAFTA and unintended consequences, which I largely believe were unintended consequences, the neoliberals genuinely thought that the economy was going to move into a service-based economy and we'd be fine. It did not. And they've been trying to patch that leaking boat now for a long time. But more on that later. The point is that we know that something's wrong. Generation, you know, Z and the, you know, earlier millennials definitely know something's very, very wrong. And with that recognition that something is wrong, they're reacting to it. And they're pushing back. And they're pushing back against this in a really big way. And that is creating this counterculture. And when you look around and you have the liberals out there and you have the militant left, which they're not one and the same, contrary to popular belief. This is something I keep pointing out. Some of you get it. Some of you don't. Most of you don't. They're not one and the same, and they do not like each other, by the way. But that said, you have even the mainstream alt-right folks who are pointing out these inconsistencies that are going on, and it's created a counterculture movement in and of itself. The iconography, the dress code, the memes that are coming out of it, it has its own feel and flavor to it, but it is a throwback to the 1980s of that era, right? Very much is. And we've seen this, right? We've seen this for going on almost a decade now, but it's really hitting its zenith. And the more that the left pushes and says, you know, well, everything is racist, that's racist, that offends me, well, the more they're going to go for the threat. Because they...
When it comes to mining, ASCO is on it with Hitachi to deliver the goods. The ASCO Equipment Mining Product lineup includes the latest in Hitachi heavy-duty excavators, haul trucks, and shovels with second-to-none hydraulic systems that are ready to go to work. With 25 locations in Texas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico, convenience is key. Hitachi Mining Performance, ASCO Support. Achieve more. Find the location closest to you at ascoeq.com.
That's the piece they don't understand, because they can. And they're going to continue to do so. And they're going to continue to hit it home. That's exactly what's going on here. And so with this young lady who, by her own admission, is a single mother, hey, you know, you got to get out there, you got to get after it. You got mouths to feed one way or the other. I wouldn't say that, you know, this lady's a paragon of the trad life. I think it's probably the opposite. But, you know, hey, that is what it is. The point here is that just in that simple act of breaking a moray, right? A moray, which is an implicit rule in society that you don't break. And she broke it. That's that act of counterculture. That's that outward act of rebellion. And she's imparted with a certain level of social reward because of it. And of course, you've got people that are quick. Oh, this is AstroTurf. How'd she pick up so many followers all at once? Well, that's simple. Because there's so many people out there who are disaffected, who are saying, looking at this and really looking at the totality of the kaleidoscope here and saying, well, is she a bad person because everybody on the left is telling us she's a bad person because of something she said, when, you know, all these other people get a free pass? Now, I'm not saying anything one way or the other, but there are a lot of people that are thinking about that very thing right there. And not only that, they're just tired of being told no. They're tired of being told, hey, you know, whatever it is that the left is going to get pissed off about today, yeah, we're going to go do that. Why? Because we can. Because we can. We're tired of being told no, that you can't. And we're going to go do it. You hope that it pisses them off. You want it to piss them off. You know? And so that's what this is. Now, another thing another piece to this, another element to this, is the right is also very, very quick to accept people that just exhibit equality, inequality, a voice in the darkness. Yeah, all right. That person says what I think. There's no longevity here, right? There's no longevity. There's no really anything to offer the community other than, well, oh, they're getting out there and they're doing something, right? I mean, okay. You know, I've been fighting in the trenches now for the better part of a decade. Been down there doing it. You know, sometimes it works to my benefit. Sometimes maybe I wish that, you know, maybe I get on social media and, you know, exploit another avenue, maybe to hit that big time, right? But, you know, whenever you have somebody that just explodes onto the scene, I always give them some time. Give them some time because you can see what happens. I remember, because I've been doing this a long time. I've been around for a while. I happen to remember back in the Obama days, like before I was writing or podcasting or any of that stuff. But I happen to remember this guy named Colonel Stephen Potter. Any of y'all remember him? Look him up. See where that guy went. You know? There are others, but Potter's the one that comes to mind. Saying all the right things, enticing people to do stuff. Oh, yeah, you know, get out there. We're going to do all this stuff. Kind of one of those voices that's quick to point out the problem. Right? They're always pointing out the problem. They never quite have the solution, but normally the solution comes in the way of donating money to their 501c3. That should be a big, big red flag right there. But, you know, this guy kind of fizzled out. And we've seen this. People who have been in you know, right-wing circles for a long period of time have seen this pattern stuck on repeat over the years, right? And so a lot of us who are pretty wise are a little jaundiced to these things. Like, you know, okay, you see things for what they are. You're not necessarily enamored with any of the flavors of the month. But at the same time, going back to my original point, you can't be afraid of your own organization. Okay? You cannot be afraid of your own organization. Going back to the 1990s and my example, kind of a juxtaposition, if you will, of the 1990s to today, because there's a lot of parallels. There's some critical differences. In the 1990s, people were very afraid to organize because those who were organizing, they were just terrified. Fed infiltration, right? Everybody's a Fed. This guy's a Fed. That guy's a Fed. There's a Fed underneath my flower pot, right? All this stuff. You have to expect that there's going to be a certain level of monitoring, okay? But the actual act of human intelligence and the enticement, okay, not entrapment, but enticement, it's a different thing. Recognizing the signs of enticement go a really long way to mitigating all the negative effects, if you will, of people infiltrating movements. And you have to be on guard. Typically, in my experience, people who are trying to subvert a movement, they're the good idea fairy. They're the ones who are going to be constantly offering their own advice. They have very little in terms of real world bona fides or expertise behind anything. And you know, maybe it's just me, but you can kind of see these guys coming from a mile away. They're the ones who are always going to be the only voice in the room. They want to push everybody out. And they normally they're going to instigate drama with people. Normally. And you know, very, very trivial drama. Very, very, you know, just I don't like this guy kind of thing. And usually, very rarely, they'll instigate, or very commonly, they'll instigate that drama, and very rarely will they ever accept blame for it either, because that's exactly what they're there to do. You know, so how does this pertain to this Lily character, or, you know, any of the other caricatures that seem to emerge from time to time on the...
June is recognized nationally as Men's Health Month. Aetna and CVS Health are committed to finding new ways to make healthier happen for everyone. They're making healthcare more affordable, connected, and better for all. Visit them at CVSHealth.com. That's CVSHealth.com.
Right. There are some other names that I could mention here recently, but I'm going to abstain from doing so because I don't comment on other people's problems. You know, I'm not going to do that. But there have been other voices on the right here recently that got themselves into a lot of trouble in their personal life. And, you know, just objectively, you should question that. Okay. And that's all I'm going to say about that is you can judge a man very easily by his conduct in his personal life. And, you know, very easily. That has never failed me, not once. That intuition. But, you know, how this pertains to other people, how they become influencers and whatnot, it's because the right is so desperate. The right is so desperate for any voice that just appeals to them at any given time. You want that. You want it, right? You want it. And we're going to listen to that voice, no matter how stupid that voice might be. Or how inconsistent with your own values that voice might be. But you're going to embrace it wholesale. Yeah, all right. You know, because somebody dares to be edgy. That's the point of this. That's the point of this whole thing. Don't be so quick to rush up on somebody with open arms. You know, just because they're telling you what they think. That you want to hear and what you think you want to hear. The people you ought to embrace are the ones who aren't telling you what you want to hear. The ones who are actually telling you the hardcore truth. And you can't be afraid of organization simultaneously. You take wins when they're handed to you. This lady, for good or bad, is a cultural win. Why? Because she's standing up for free speech. Just the embodiment of it. Whether you like that or not, whether you agree with the things that she said or you think that it's terrible, it really doesn't matter, because that's the freedom of speech. That's the essence of it. And we live in a society today where it's really questionable whether or not you have a First Amendment or not, right? It's really questionable whether you have a First Amendment or not. Now, you can suffer the consequences of a First Amendment. Right, that's a different conversation. But with the Alex Jones case, that was all literally, we are suing you for your First Amendment rights. That's literally the question, the fundamental question. And that was what they did. And with these other people that emerge on social media, everybody is so quick to throw stones. It's a PSYOP, this is a PSYOP, all the things are PSYOP. No. There are things that just happen organically. Okay, it doesn't mean that a governing entity won't attempt to co-opt it and take advantage of it, because they will, and they usually do. Right? It's a fine line. There's a dichotomy, a way to look at it back and forth. All right. And where does that leave you? You have to think. Okay, I think that personally, I think that in the United States today, we really lack the ability to critically think because our attention spans are so doggone short. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Television, the entertainment industry is a big part of it. But we're not able to think critically for ourselves. And that's really the heart of it. That's the heart of all of this. You have to be able to think. And you have to be able to have those interpersonal communication skills. Because if you don't have those, if you don't have the basic ability to read people and say, you know, hey, man, like at a basic level, maybe this guy is up to no good. maybe this guy really isn't my friend. You know, maybe this guy's just telling me what I want to hear. It's simple things like that. And take everything you see online at face value. It's not all a psyop, okay? It's absolutely not all a psyop. Not everything is a psyop. Take your cultural victories where you can get them, all right? Admire the fact that somebody is saying something that's the epitome of the counterculture. Now, you might not like what was said, but at the same time, you should appreciate that somebody is at least standing up for freedom of speech, whether that is on purpose or it happened accidentally. It makes no difference, all right? It makes no difference, at least not to me. You know, I see it one in the same. And not everything is a psyop. You know, you have to embrace certain things. You have to be willing to take those victories where you can get them, even if they were unexpected. And maybe it wasn't the victory you were looking for. All right. But I'm going to tell you that with every one of these things, every one of these small tidbits of counterculture that are pushing harder and harder, this is what the right is doing, okay? This is what's happening at the grassroots level. This is populism happening on the right, and it is growing. And that is something to be very proud of, okay? That is something to be very, very proud of, because at its heart, it's questioning the status quo. So the last thing that I want to say, going back to the 1990s, is kind of a bit of caution. The right wing, the militia movement, you know, the 1990s, regressed. And it regressed rapidly by about year 2000. So when George Bush was elected, a lot of people knew, you know, he's neocon. And I mean, I remember, you know, Bush v. Gore and all of that in 2000. But a lot of your grassroots base on the right who were very, very angry, all right, extremely angry, total dissatisfaction with the status quo, they were calmed down because of that. Because they said, well, you know, we do have a right-wing guy who is, or at least what we thought, he's the president now, things are going to turn around. The one good thing that Bush did do was he allowed the 2004 sunset of the assault weapons ban. That was a good thing. A lot of people don't credit him with that, but that was a very good thing. And anyhow, there's a lot of liberals that regretted that. But with that said, the right regressed, and it regressed in a big way. It dropped off in 2000, and that was why you saw a lot of the alternative media voices kind of take a more populist, even like I would say center-left stance on things. Alex Jones, for a period of time after 9/11, got extremely popular with the left. A lot of people don't want you to remember that, but that is a fact. His police state documentaries got very, very popular on the left. Now, he himself didn't change his stance on anything, but it was the shifting of the sands at the grassroots level that changed. And that was what was important. That was the important thing to focus on. That's coming. It's coming again. But what's happening is that things are shifting further and further to the right. The more that they attack him, the more that they attack conservative influencers, people who are on the right, the America First PAC, you know, whatever it might be, the more that they're attacked, the more people are going to be drawn to it. It's going to have that gravitas. And so what you're seeing now is peak dissatisfaction. Simultaneously, what occurred on the left coming out of the 1990s, because we hadn't yet seen the economic destruction that NAFTA had wreaked, particularly among the South. It happened, you know, in the Northeast as well, manufacturing belts, the steel belt for sure. But here in the South, where textile manufacturing was huge, particularly here in North Carolina, furniture manufacturing as well, it absolutely wrecked our economy. And we hadn't yet seen it. It really didn't take hold until the early 2000s, because it takes a little bit of time to catch up. You know, economics are not an overnight thing. And so, you know, all the cracks in the dam were there. The militant left saw all of this. And a lot of your labor union types, people who understood that end of economics and the dichotomy, the dynamic that existed there between labor and corporations, who had been warning about this for a long period of time, and were taking action. I mean, Battle for Seattle is an interesting flick from the early to mid 2000s. I remember watching it on my second deployment. I think it was a new movie back then, so it would have been like 08, 07, 08 time period. But anyway, had a bunch of people in it. What that was about was the riots, World Trade Organization counter riots that were taking place in Seattle. And a lot of these guys turned out to be, you know, the proto-Antifa. And, you know, of course, they graduated on to Occupy Wall Street. And then, you know, Antifa kind of came out of that on one hand. Then you had guys like Tim Pool who came out of it, too. And so, in essence, what I'm telling you here is that in the 1990s, the left didn't regress the same way that the right did. They kept going. And they buckled down. And while they realized with their protests that were building up to their big, high-level, very visible, overt phase stuff that they were doing going into the global war on terror years, they had explored this early on. They weren't necessarily concerned with infiltration or co-opting because it was very self-selecting. You know, the actual way that you move up in those ranks of organization is through proving it. You know, word of mouth, the deeds, right? And that's the way that it functions now. A lot of people on the right have a real hard time understanding that. But when the right became scared of its own organization and the left didn't, that was when the left took off. And now we have the right, which thankfully, and I'm seeing this happen among young millennials and Gen Z, they don't have that fear, all right? They don't have that fear. And it doesn't matter how many Enrique Tarrios are out there or how many January 6th protesters are out there that end up getting put in prison in absentia. This stuff is ridiculous. What I'm seeing as a sociologist is kind of drawing on my academic background heavily in this, is that there's been a complete culture shift because the social dynamic and the social reality of 2024 versus 1984 and the family ties and you know, that counterculture is that at least in the 1980s, there was a belief that there was a better tomorrow. There was a belief that economically America was strong and that we were good and that, you know, our institutions really were there to protect us. And now in 2024, we realize that a lot of that was false. A lot of that was nothing more than smoke and mirrors. It was propaganda. We're not trusting it. There's a strong flavor of nihilism among it. And on one hand, you could say that's sad, and I wouldn't disagree with you. But on the other hand, that's empowering, because a man that doesn't have anything to lose is a man who is going to fight the hardest for change. And that's exactly where we see ourselves. That's exactly where we are today. And that's why I have so much hope in the younger generations out there. That's why I work tirelessly to supply them. And every class that I see and every class that I run, I've got all these young faces in there that are coming in. You know, when I got started doing this, I had a, you know, typically I would get a lot of older folks, particularly in communications courses. I get a lot of older folks. I still do, you know, and that's awesome. Love you guys. Love breaking bread with you, sharing wisdom with you, hearing what you have to say about stuff. I love that. absolutely love interacting with you. But the young guys, you have a special place in my heart because you're the future. At some point, and I want everybody to take this away, at some point, no matter where you are in life, whatever it is that you're doing is going to end. That's one of the biggest lessons I think anybody can take from the Army, you know, or the military in general. But for me, it was the Army, is that no matter how bad whatever it is you're doing is, or it sucks, or like you know, whatever it is, it's going to end. It has a finite end point. It is going to end at some point. And it's going to be better. And there's going to be hope for a better tomorrow. And with young folks today, that's a serious question that they have. Is it going to be better? Is America's best days ahead of it, or is it behind it? And I don't necessarily have an answer for that. But I know what I'm trying to do. And I know that I'm trying to impart that on others. And, you know, the keep as much of the reflection of nihilism socially away as I can. But as a sociologist, I recognize trends among people in society. And what I'm telling y'all is that this generation coming up now, you know, Gen Z, is very much reacting very strongly. That counterculture, that countercurrent is very much swinging to the right. It's very much America first. And I'm here for it. I'm glad to see it. And, you know, I talk about this with friends of mine on a personal level many times. You know, it usually comes up in conversation at least a couple times a week with people in my inner circle. But that there's a political realignment that I think is coming soon, very soon, where you're going to have people both on the right and the left who are meeting in the middle on certain topics, because that reality is becoming very, very strong. That, you know, our traditional system of economics, our traditional way of doing business is failing us, and that we have some real strong social questions that we need to answer. We've been kind of kicking this can down the road for generations now, and we need to shit or get off the pot. We need to figure this thing out. And that's what it's coming down to. That's where we're headed. And, you know, for good or bad, that remains to be seen. But that is definitely where we are headed. So anyway, you know, again, young folks listening to this, nowadays it's, I would say it's at least 2/3 of the class is my age or younger, that I get, you know, just taught big class out of Wyoming, RTO, radio telephone operator, and advanced RTO, and, you know, absolutely rocked the house out there in Wyoming, had a hell of a good time. Most of that class was younger than I am, you know, and I'm not 40. So that's a hell of a thing to see, you know. That is a hell of a good thing to see. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing, and people are standing up for their freedom, you know. Don't be scared of that organization, because organization is what's going to get us through that. It ain't me, and it ain't just you, and it ain't just any individual out there. All right, we put no man on a pedestal but Jesus Christ himself, right? But us collectively getting together and working towards a goal at the local most level. That's the reason labor unions are organized in locals. That's the reason it's called that, in case you didn't know. You know, that's why there's chapters of organizations out there. You should go support them, right? And when you pop in and the vibe ain't for you, well, maybe it ain't for you. But, you know, get out there and don't be that sourpuss in the background. Oh, everything sucks. Everything's co-opted. Everything's this. Everything's that. You know, hey. You being the change you want to see in the world? If not, stand up. What are you doing? You know, don't worry about what somebody else is doing. Don't worry about what somebody else has got to say. You get out there and you do it. Don't be scared of your own success. Don't be scared of organization. Don't be scared because you think, you know, you're overly paranoid that somebody's going to come out from under your flower pot and snatch you up in the middle of the night. All right. Get out there and see what you can achieve and see what doesn't happen. Then on the other hand, see what does happen for good. I promise you'll be able to do something. I'm seeing people coast to coast that are getting out there doing good things. And you know what? Whenever I see people throw stones at them, because I have, you know, that really ticks me off. That really ticks me off. Even for people that maybe I don't care for them individually, you know, like this Lily character. Whatever. Probably not somebody that shares values that I hold for the most part. But you know what? Who cares? That's somebody who's exhibiting a First Amendment right. You know, hey, get out there and do it. You know, it is what it is. Not everything is a psyop, folks. Anyhow, brushbeater.store, if you're looking for training, training calendar is up over there. We're going to be adding some new interesting dates to the training calendar as well. We've got a long-range class that will be going up on the calendar as soon as we work out some of the final details. I'm going to be bringing Jason from WyoTac out here to North Carolina, so he'll get to shoot long range with y'all. That's going to be the grand opening of our 1,000-meter range here at the G Camp. Really, really, really looking forward to that. The store is going to be growing by leaps and bounds. Very much looking forward to the grand opening of that and getting up with all of you. I don't know what we're going to do yet for grand opening, but whatever it is that we plan on, y'all know, everybody out there who knows me in person knows, you know, hey, we do it big. Whatever it is, we're going to do it big. We're going to do it right. So, you know, we're here to have fun. We are absolutely going to have fun. We're going to have a blast. And, you know, if at the end of the day, if you ain't having fun, what's the point? You know, what is the point? Anyway, all your night vision, thermal, communications needs, training needs, tactical gear, you name it. We've got it all over there. Brushbeater Dyes store. Looking forward to getting up with all of you. God bless. Stay safe. Get out there. Make it count. Train hard. I'll talk to you again very, very soon. NC Scout.
Injured in an accident, don't fight the insurance companies alone. Call McCarum Law at 281-222-2222. They will answer 24/7, nights and weekends too. Your consultation is free and you pay nothing unless you win. Call McCarum Law, 281-222-2222.
McCarum Law Firm, Principal Office, Houston, Texas.
Primrose Schools in the greater Houston area are now hiring teachers. Whether you're looking to start your career or make a change from the one you're in, Primrose provides all the tools and training you need to start making a difference in children's lives and your own. Learn more at primroseschools.com/HoustonCareers.